say that the seminar, or this was actually how to overcome obstacles in devotional service, it was actually laid out as a seminar which would go over 2.5 days. Now we have 1.5 hours. I cannot possibly tell you everything which the original seminar includes. However, I think we can cover a good deal of the most important things. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha, Gokula Nanda Radha, Gokula Nanda Radhe.
Jaya Radha, Gokula Nanda Radha, Gokula Nanda Radhe.
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Bol. After all, to give up one's life completely for serving the Lord is not an easy thing, and Maya tests. We are not very much hopeful for any lasting pleasure or satisfaction, for our deepest cravings within this realm of gross matter will never be fulfilled. My disciples, Prabhupada speaks, have become a little detached from Maya's love or lust, and they want Krishna's love or endless, fully rewarding love, but they have not yet developed to that point. That's all. Here Srila Prabhupada speaks about the difficulties of developing Krishna consciousness because we are in a nobody's land. We are no longer attached to material life in the same way we used to be, but unfortunately we have not yet developed full love of Godhead. We are in between. And in this in-between period, there will be severe tests coming. You will be interested to know that both in the material world as well as in the society of ISKCON, These tests are becoming administered if we live outside or inside. To pass examinations in spiritual life is a must in order to advance. When Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Tehran, Persia, he was talking about these tests and examinations which will come on the spiritual path. He said, to be recognized by Krishna, one has to pass examinations, severe test of examination. All the big devotees we see. Then one of his disciples was a previous Muslim, and he remembers that also in the Quran there is information about passing tests. It said that the believer, the true Muslim, must walk through fire. Haribol. It is described that he has to go over a bridge, and on both sides there is fire. And the only way, the Quran says, the only way to come over this bridge is to close your eyes and pray to God that He may guide you. So then you don't fall. And so, Prabhupada says, a similar description is there in the Vedas. The great ocean of material existence becomes, however, small when one becomes dependent on Krishna, just like the water contained in the hoof impression of a calf. Here is a secret. Although there may be tests coming to us, obstacles, if one takes shelter at Krishna, it is possible to go over this. Prabhupada, now, a devotee wants to know, Atreya Rishi, this is the Muslim disciple, wants to know, as one advances more in Krishna consciousness, are the tests which one gets more severe? Prabhupada says, no. After you pass the examination, there's no more test. But before coming to the post of recognized devotee, Krishna tests very severely. That one has to pass. So let me summarize my introduction. It is not easy to give up material life, and we are tested in the process, whether or not we are sincere. There are some tests which we will be able to discuss today. I will start with tests and obstacles which come from the non-devotee world. I will then go to our deep-rooted attachments to material sense gratification. I will unveil the holy cowl of materialism, that is, the attachment to sex. Then we will have deal with philosophical doubts. Then we will deal with obstacles coming from our own mind. And finally, we will become free from all obstacles. Hare Krishna, let us see. I hope. Now, before opening my first subject, that is obstacles which come from the non-devotee world. Hare Krishna, Vibhu, I was there at your marriage. I think your name is Vibhu. Yes. Hare Krishna. I wanted to first of all ask you if you have ever experienced obstacles in your spiritual life. there is an insecure smile on your face. Could we maybe isolate together a few causes of, let me see, a few obstacles which you see, so that I can see that I talk relevantly? I will request Dinanath to please write them down on a piece of, yes, on paper, and at the end we can look at this paper and see if our seminar was worthwhile, if we have learned something. So let us brainstorm a little bit about obstacles, but please don't, let us not become discouraged. We will solve them all. So sleepy. What else is an obstacle? Greek. Anger. Yeah, yeah. Fear of attachment. Lust, yes. Ignorance, ooh. Prajalpa. Mm-hmm. Yes, Prajalpa. What else is an obstacle? Pride.
Yes. You have it. False ego being fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Television. We call him in Germany the one-eyed guru.
Apathy.
Apathy.
Procrastination.
Tomorrow. What else? Family attachment. Mother, father.
We have material
attachments. No, we have to be detailed. Family attachment. There's so many material attachments. What? Holidays? Politics. Yes, please come close. It is also good for a near and dear feeling. You're not moving close. It's close. Come. All right, this is all you can think of. I think we are in the graveyard shift. That means you have eaten and all of your energies is fully and totally spent in digestion. Pump it, please, up to the brain. Intoxication, that's an obstacle because we are so... But we have all the same devotees brainstorming with us.
Loss of determination.
Loss of determination. Yeah. Speculation. I think it's enough. We have an idea now. Maybe we even put it back, Dinanath, so that we don't become depressed because we see too much at once. Yeah, all right, thank you very much. The first obstacle which I want to deal with, and which you will see will cover some of the points which you have put on the brainstorm thing, is obstacles which are created from the non-devotee world. Now, there are two kinds of obstacles which come from there. One is just influences which come from outside. I mean, we may have a TV set at home, and all of a sudden, while taking a brief overview over the evening TV plate, we discover in one thali a thing which we are, maybe a fantastic horror show, and because we were non-devotees ourselves, we feel some strange old attachment coming up, as we see the advertisement, best Frankenstein movie ever shown in the English TV. And these are influences which come from, let me say, from the outside, but also, as you have noticed from my example, from the inside. We are not only influenced when the radio plays music which may send non-devotional messengers. We are also influenced because, unfortunately, we were non-devotees ourselves in the past. And therefore, the same attachments which move the non-devotee world are still with me. I once had a devotee, and we were speaking about the non-devotee's attachment to, you know, just material things, and then the devotee looked at my face and said, "Do you know what? I'm attached to the same things, because I was a non-devotee myself. All these things are still within me. I've taken them with me into Krishna consciousness." So, let me first deal with attachments from the non-devotee worlds from the outside, and then from the inside. From the outside, very often our relatives and old friends object to our newfound enthusiasm in spiritual life. They want us to be on the same level, but they see we have we are far, far away. See, friendship means there is a same common denominator, common interests, and so on. And when these interests are removed, often the friendship stops for them. I remember once when I preached to a popular singer, Nina Hagen, and convinced her to stop the intake of drugs. So then when she was on the stage, she felt she could no longer communicate with her fellow musicians, because the foundation, poor as it is, the foundation, the hashish drug, was no longer there, the foundation of the friendship. So in the same way, when a person turns to spiritual life, very often the foundation of the old relationships are gone. Mommy and father explained to us, "You used to be so interested in the family, but now you have another interest, it seems to me, another family." And this is disturbing, because the ground of the relationship is taken away. So very often our relatives and family members and friends become very alarmed and create a lot of obstacles in our way, because they feel threatened that we leave. So what to do? What we should do is we should be kind to them, understanding their situation, that they do not want to lose a friend, and be understanding. We should never do what was hinted at in this morning's seminar, that with our newfound found enthusiasm, we frighten our old friends away, that we say, do you know what a demon is, Father? And then explain the things which your father has no problem to identify with. That we should know what to be aware of in order not to create unnecessary obstacles from relatives and family people. We may even for some time, to keep them happy, act in two ways. We are friendly on the social platform with them, but we cultivate our own spiritual lives more and more. And you will see that what is in your heart will come into the heart of the other people. Don't worry so much with external words to convince them of something you might not even have fully realized. Become realized while remaining friendly to the outside world. And you will see how even without speaking one word, you will influence them, because in your heart there is Krishna. The other thing is, when you deal with a non-devotee word, you must know of an important rule of communication. I call it the osmosis of communication. Now, this is all difficult words, I know, but I need a pen here to make clear what I mean. Osmosis means when there is a cell in the body and there is a salty liquid, you know, the blood or cell liquid around it, then when this has a high salt contents, this a low one, then the salt will travel through the skin of the cell inwards. This is biology. Is it clear what I say? Because my English is not so good. Can you understand? Now, provided here, inside the cell, is more, the liquid is more salty than in the outside, then it will go vice versa. That is, it comes outside the salt. Yes? Good. So, this law of the osmosis, that is, the salty contents always travels to where there is less salty contents, is also taking place in association. When the people with whom you are associating are more concentrated in that thing than you are, their worldviews and understandings will influence you. However, if you are more concentrated in what you do than they are concentrated in what they are doing, you will influence them vice versa. Let me give you an example from England. In England, you have the inventors of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the Rolling Stones. I think they claimed this title. It was long before they were babies in existence. But if you would go, for instance, in a group of deep materialists like them, and you would not be very concentrated in your Krishna consciousness, you would become influenced. The salt would travel inside of you. But if you are a very concentrated devotee, concentrated in Krishna consciousness, you will influence the non-devotee world without even saying a word. This is a little esoteric, isn't it? It's subtle. But it is very true. I remember when we once brought Srila Prabhupada to the airport in Stockholm. Prabhupada was just sitting there. And the people were passing him. And they looked, you know, fell over each other. Because Prabhupada emanated such an intense concentration of Krishna consciousness that the materialists, they were not nearly as concentrated, and it began to they began to melt away. So, but when you are not concentrated and you go amongst the materialists, they will melt you away. You will be like a pile of butter next to the fire. This is a law of communication. Never forget it. In associating with a non-devotee world, you also should know what Sivaram Maharaj has explained to us today. That is, that there are two types of associating. Who remembers? Giving association and taking association. Giving association is what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to influence your thoughts in a spiritual way. I'm preaching to you. I think this is obvious in a way, but maybe you were surprised. If I would take your association, I would lean back and say, what do you all think about overcoming obstacles in devotional service? And you would say, it's not necessary, Maharaj. We are modern devotees. Or you would say things to me, and I would not respond. So, when you are with devotees, non-devotees, you should know that you can be with them, and by giving them association, that is, by, in some ways, benefiting them with your output, what comes from you. You can sometimes, when you are in school or in the circle, you can just give them prasadam, for instance, regularly. This is giving your association to them. You may not always talk, nor may you necessarily be a big talker. But you can just, like this. But be careful in taking their association, that is, coming on their level and becoming influenced and becoming a faithful participant in their material life. Okay, this was something on obstacles coming from the non-devotee world and overcoming them. I want to summarize. Non-devotee world, they will put messages out to us, and because we are attached to the non-devotee world due to past habits, we can become influenced. How to overcome this? Well, by simple two things. By knowing about the osmosis of communication, that is, becoming concentrated in what we believe in. And second, by giving our association and not taking theirs, in the sense of not becoming dependent and influenced by their not so good things. Hare Krishna. This was my first point. Do you have a quick question to this? Yes. Yes, and I must thank you very much for the introduction of a very special English dialect. It was a linguistic experience for me. Wonderful. Well, you do have a temple which is all with a linguistic experience for me. Wonderful. Well, you do have a temple which is always with you. And if you stay within that temple, you will be always concentrated. I have written a poem about this temple, and it goes a little bit like this. Always, I have to translate it from German, so it won't sound like good poesy, but we are after the philosophy here. Always stay within the temple of your heart, where you are living together with the Lord. Praise Him, think of Him, adore Him, who is always with you, even when everyone leaves you, something like this. So a devotee should consciously live in the temple of the heart. You should become an internal person, and so on. This requires mental discipline. But don't forget, you have the temple right with you, it's in the heart. This is a good way of practicing it. And you know, sometimes when you are with your work colleagues, it will be very difficult to talk spiritually with them. You will just upset them totally. I remember a piece of literature having from Satsvarup Maharaj. He was staying in a motel, and in the morning there was this questionnaire from the motel which he was supposed to fill out and give back to the motel owners. The first question was, how did you find the food? And he filled it out, murder. It was meat. Second question, how did you find the treatment of the personnel? And he wrote, like the treatment of a waiter who just waits for the money. You know, he has a smile, but his feeling is, when do I get the novats, the money? And so on and so forth. Now, if he would have sent this questionnaire and his answers in, then he would totally have sent them into outer space, you know. So he didn't do it. He filled it for himself. All right, we can go on to the second obstacle, which is the obstacle to sexual engagement. Sexual engagement is, after all, the highest form of sense gratification. During the act of sex, all our five senses are on fire. The sense of touch, obviously, the sense of taste, the sense of, you know, hearing, when the other makes certain, maybe I don't want to go so much in the detail here. We are, although we may not like to hear about it and even like to think of it, very as material people, very much attached to this particular enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada, he said once, or wrote once, I understand that sometimes you feel urges and frustration. In the material world, The sex urge is the binding force for material existence. A determined person tolerates such sex urges as one tolerates the itching sensation of eczema. Tolerated. If one cannot control the sex urge, then he can legitimately married. Immoral sex life and spiritual advancement, however, are incompatible. And he wrote in the Bhagavatam, basically there is no difference between the process of Buddhists, Shankarites and Vaishnavites. In what? In that? Now he will explain it. For promotion to the higher status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. Celibacy is a war cry to illusion. Celibacy means to be silent when the whole world is engaged and noisy. It means to stand by when everyone dives into a fatty feast. You know, fatty, I mean, ghee and so on. It eats and eats and eats and tells you smilingly how nice it tastes. But celibacy rewards us with a wonderful qualification for spiritual life. That is, a peaceful and undisturbed mind. However, if we are not spiritually satisfied, we can be, tempted here and tempted there. And I want to talk about this a little bit. The first rule for someone who is attached to this type of sensual gratification, which after all is very natural to a conditioned soul who has not yet understood that he is an eternal soul, different from the body. The very first thing is a higher taste. A person should have a higher taste in that he is physically well, not sick, that he is emotionally well, that it means he has affectionate relationship with others, and that he is socially well, that is, that he has friends, and so on. Then it's easier for a person to have a higher taste on the duchonne, the spiritual platform. Now, when there is a time where you become very where you feel how this attachment becomes greater in you, you must know a very secret thing. When you are spiritually satisfied and have a spiritual vision, you will see the other people not as bodies, but as spiritual soul. Even the most beautiful a member of the opposite sex will be seen by you as the children of, as a child of immortality, a part and parcel of Krishna. With great respect, you will see him spiritually. However, if you are not on the spiritual platform, you will see hairs and breasts and muscles and feet and navels and whatever. It depends really on the level of your mind, how you will deal with these attractions. Now you can also help it on the material platform by taking diet. Diet means by not eating too spicy Gujarati food. or you know, too spicy whatever food, but not eating too sweet food, and you know, by eating in moderate amounts, because there is a line. The tongue is in this line. First the mind is here, the tongue, then the stomach, and finally the private part between the legs. So this is a line, and when one of, if everything is in balance, you're less agitated for sex life. Hare Krishna. I have so much to say about this subject matter, but and as much as I have to say about it, as little time I have. So I will see if there is a quick question in regards to this. Yeah.
Because it's not like flashbacks.
Very good question. Due to my previous activities, remembrances haunt me. They come like flash lights. See, this is very nice that you are talking so honestly. You will be pleased to know. But maybe also, yeah, you please do know, you are not in this alone. Everyone in this barn, even the mice and the cats, have the same situation as us. What Krishna, how to overcome this? It's very simple. Very simple, but not so simple. Since time immemorial, our mind has flown in a certain direction. That is, when we see some palatable objects of the senses, our mind hurries towards it with thoughts of enjoyment. Now, if we want to stop this, we need to give the mind another riverbed. Our mind flows like waves in a riverbed, and the river is called me, mine, enjoyment, you know. If you want to give your mind a different, direction, you need to create a new riverbed. Take the urge from this, throw it in the old riverbed, finish it, and let the water flow here. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. How to do this? You hear about Krishna, and you should throw yourself with abundance into the kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. Jai Jagannath. You should create deep impressions in your spiritual life, and you will see how your mind will think about Krishna. For instance, what I did a few days ago, we had a parayatra all around a beautiful lake in Germany. It took us something like, I think, 10 days? 10 days. And we chanted 6 hours a day while walking, and then in the evening and in the morning. So when I slept, my mind was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then the mind went to the newest scandal in ISKCON. And then after some time, because the chanting was so strong, it immediately came back. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because by chanting a new riverbed is created. The mind will flow in a different direction. Now this is everyone's work here. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, you all have the same task ahead of you. If you want to live a more spiritual life, or even simply a more fulfilled life, you have to give your thoughts a different direction. Then you want to give a river a different direction. Deep experiences in your personality, which will make deep impressions so that you will go the spiritual way. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this wonderful question. Now I will come to the point of obstacles created by philosophical doubts. Do you have sometimes doubts? Yes. I think anyone who has no doubts does not think. Because as soon as you begin to think, you bring your old thought patterns with you, try to analyze reality and the life around you according to what you have experienced so far. Now you hear all these far out new things. Like when I first, I read, when I was before Krishna consciousness, the scientific worldview, the picture of science in German language, das Bild der Wissenschaft. Every day we read, every day is not, maybe not every day, but we had this newspaper in our homes. And I remember when I first heard about the big birds which fly from planet to planet, and in the midst of their flying they hatch an egg, a monster egg, and another big bird comes out of it while the egg falls down. Haribo! There were many things which were very difficult. I think some of you, when you read in Prabhupada's books and you discover yet another atom bomb, then it does become difficult to keep the Shraddha, the faith going. I think that the reason why we develop philosophical doubts is that in the beginning our understanding in spiritual life is a little bit theoretical and not yet fully realized. We have not seen the truth, so to say, and therefore informations which totally contrast what we have previously heard or even seen are sometimes difficult to digest, and then we get doubts. Now, there are two ways to work with doubts in spiritual life. The first way really is the intellectual approach, and the other is the yoga approach. The intellectual approach means you confront the doubt. You find out, what the doubt really says. For instance, our Krishna consciousness is just another version of the truth. It's not really absolute. It's the Indian Vaishnav perspective, and so on. So, you say, all right, this is the doubt. Let me now see what is behind this doubt. Well, behind this doubt is a fear that if I take to Krishna consciousness, maybe I'm joining a sectarian worldview. So you should really go and find out this doubt, and then you should offer the arguments. That's the intellectual approach. No, Krishna consciousness is really not a limited worldview, because the Krishna conscious explanation accounts for the whole reality of spiritual phenomena. For instance, we know Krishna is the material nature. Virat Rupa, everything is within the Lord. When we talk of Krishna, we also talk about the super soul who is present in everyone's heart. When we talk of Krishna, we also talk about the big energy which holds everything together, which is the Brahman. Really, Krishna is all-encompassing. It's not a limited understanding. But another way to deal with doubt is to practice yoga. I want to tell you what I mean with this. Once Srila Prabhupada received, Srila Prabhupada used to always receive letters full of questions. Sometimes these letters had 50 points, difficult questions. Srila Prabhupada answered them, but then at one stage Prabhupada also did not answer them, but asked a question. May I ask you? He wrote back to the devotee with the 50 questions. If you are regularly chanting 16 rounds on beads, 16 rounds of beads, the tricks of the mind or influence of Maya will infiltrate if we do not follow the regulative principles and regularly chant the prescribed names without any offense. In other words, Gauranga Sundara Prabhu, when you may answer a question by giving an answer which satisfies the intellect, but you can also answer it in a yoga way. That is, you give someone a spiritual process which helps him or her to come on a higher spiritual platform from where he will see everything. For instance, I could ask Dharani Dara Prabhu, how does your head look? And you would say, well, it's a little cone-shaped, and so on. You will give this is one type. But I could simply climb on these piles, like our, what is your name?
Lloyd.
Floyd or? Lloyd. Lloyd. And he sees it from his superior position. He's, so, in the same way, I'm sorry, because you look also tired, my examples are not the most sophisticated. In the same way, if we change our platform of perception, we will be able to see ourselves and get ourselves answers. So this is a very good way to deal with philosophical doubts. However, the most important is to develop faith. Doubts go away when you develop Shraddha. Shraddha is described to be like a beautiful queen. Breathtakingly beautiful. The queen of faith. Now, how can we develop faith? It is described that there are, let me see, let me get everything together. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Now Prabhupada starts his purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. Faith is created by association with devotees. When you are with devotees, good and convinced devotees, you will develop also faith. Oh, I can also do this. The process seems to work. They are living and observable examples. Another way is you can convince your mind great authorities have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says one should have the common sense to ask, why, if Krishna or Rama were fictitious, stalwart scholars like Sridhar Swami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Viraragava, Vijayadvaja, Vallabhacharya, and many other recognized acharyas would have spent so much time to write about Krishna in notes and commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, this is always very good, you know. If I asked, well, is there still these wonderful Mangal Arati seeds in the Bhaktivedanta manner? Are they still offered? You know, I can ask Dharanidhara, and he can give me an answer. And if his answer is positive, I can say he is the authority here on this subject matter.